And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was up on his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, even seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto him again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the wonderful, wonderful word of God. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for all the things you've done for us. We praise you, Lord, for answered prayer, how good you've been to us. And Lord, we've brought many other requests to you tonight, asking you, God, to have the will of God done for each and every one. And Lord, once again tonight, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, for that. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Out of the called the briefcase, the paper that the Christian Law Association puts out, David Gibbs's paper, I want to read just a couple things to you. Some key court decisions will be made in the next few years. Will marriage in the United States of America remain limited to one man and one woman? Or will same-sex marriages be given legal validity? Will judges in divorce and child custody hearings be ordering parents not to share Jesus Christ with their children? Will the judges declare that spiritual training is not in the best interest of the child? Will children be allowed to divorce their parents and choose where and with whom they will live? Hardly a week goes by without telephone calls to the Christian Law Association from Christians who are being told they cannot share their faith in the public streets and the parks of America. Such calls are shocking because streets and parks have always been the place where Americans have been free to gather to share ideas and even unpopular ideas. Historically, courts have particularly protected the rights of Americans to share their religious beliefs with others on the public streets and in the public parks of America. Such places, usually referred to as the public square, have traditionally been considered the most appropriate place for the exchange of ideas between citizens. It is alarming to receive calls from Christians who have been arrested for sharing their faith in public streets and parks. Desperate calls have come from street preachers who have had their sound equipment confiscated by police while all around them bands with amplifiers were entertaining the public without interference. Church groups have been arrested for being too noisy as they distributed tracts in front of casinos and bars or at the entrances of fairs, even while the noise level of these other activities was significantly louder than the calls to salvation. Said the Christian Law Association receives numerous calls each week from employees who have been discriminated against by their employers on the basis of their religious belief. These calls generally involve religious convictions against working on Sundays, workplace prohibitions against reading or distributing religious literature or displaying religious posters, and witnessing to fellow employees. In one case, while a crew of outdoor workers were taking shelter, awaiting a severe storm to subside, a worker was reprimanded for reading his Bible, even though other employees were reading newspapers and other books. A second grade child was told by her teacher that she could not distribute gospel tracts to her classmate. The second grader was in tears, thinking that she had done something bad at school. Our attorney immediately assured her that she had not done anything bad. The fact was the teacher had done something illegal in preventing her from passing out tracts to her friends. The literature distribution had not been done during class time and had not been done disruptively. A legal opinion letter resolved the problem. The little girl continued to take tracts to school. Eventually, many in her class were saved, and some of those children started attending her church. The next step was that she began to use her recess time to conduct Bible studies with her friends. Later, she was interviewed for a radio broadcast. Why had she so much wanted to witness to her friends in school, she was asked. The little girl replied that it was because she always saw her daddy winning souls to Jesus, and she wanted to do the same thing. Amen. Those are some of the things, though, that we're going to be facing and are facing in America. Those are the things that are coming upon us because we're coming to the end times. And we've said it, and not because I've said it, but I think you feel it in your heart, too. It is not going to get better. It's going to continue on the downward trail, and because we're living in those times when Satan is mad, his time is short, and he's going to do everything he can to stop Christians. And in America, he has some ears that are willing to listen to him. And so I'm just simply saying to you, pray. Amen. Pray and witness. Let's be like this little girl. Let's get the gospel out. Amen. Let's get it out while we can, because that day may be approaching when we're not going to be able to freely give it like we want to be able to give it without paying a terrific cost for that. Right now, we have that great privilege of doing that. Amen. Of just giving the gospel of Christ. All right. The Bible tells us in chapter 10, he says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head, and his face as if it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. I want to just look at the fact that some things that are representative here of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to state, first of all, that my own personal belief is that this is a mighty angel, that this is not the Lord Jesus Christ, but many of them believe it is. Many commentators, many people believe it is. I understand why they believe it, because many of the things said about this mighty angel has the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I'm saying I don't believe it is, I'm just simply saying that's my personal belief. All I know is this. I believe whatever it says about this thing, whatever is going on, whatever he's doing, the message he's bringing, I believe it, because that's what the Bible says. But I also know that this mighty angel just came out of the presence of God Almighty. And anybody comes out of the presence of God is certainly going to have a shining face. There's going to be some characteristics about him that's going to carry over onto that individual that's been in the presence of God Almighty. That's true scripturally. Moses had that same problem, if you want to call it a problem, when he came down upon the mount and he had to put a veil over his face because his face shines so brightly. But the real importance here is not, to me anyway, is not whether this is the Lord Jesus Christ or some mighty angel. It is the fact of what the message is that he is bringing. But first of all, I do want to share some things with you that are same as the characteristics that certainly are there that is the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us here in the book, over in the book of Revelation, we're not going to turn to these, but in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, that his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. We find also on the Mount of Transfiguration, his face did shine as the sun. We are told also when the Apostle Paul met him on the road to Damascus that he was like a bright light. He saw a bright light. And we also know in the book of Malachi that he's described as the Son of Righteousness. We know also, according to John in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, concerning those feet as pillars of fire, we also find that as if Jesus Christ pictured like that in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. That speaks of judgment. And let me say to you, we've told you in the beginning here when we got into this portion of Scripture, starting with chapter 6, the seals, judgment has begun. We are living in a time still of grace. But when you get to chapter 4, you find the rapture of the church pictured in chapter 4. But in chapter 6, you begin to see the judgment begin to take place, and horrible judgment that's going to be taking place during the tribulation period. So we find here, again, it's a picture that could evidently look just like or have the characteristics of like the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know, as he said here, that he was clothed with a cloud. The Bible tells us in Exodus 13 chapter that the Lord directed the Israelites with a pillar of cloud. We know also in Exodus the 16th chapter that the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, the Bible says. We know also in Exodus the 19th chapter, he was spoke about that he descended in a thick cloud. We also know over in Exodus the 34th chapter, again, the Lord descended in the cloud. We find in Exodus the 40th chapter, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And so we find again in Exodus the 40th chapter, he said the cloud was designated as the cloud of the Lord. We also know that God said, I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat over in the book of Leviticus. We know also that he said in Psalms 97, clouds and darkness are round about him. We find also on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is said in Matthew, the 17th chapter of Matthew, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We also know in Acts 1:9 that the Bible says that Christ ascended to heaven and a cloud received him. We know also in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, that they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And we also find in Revelation, the first chapter, behold, he cometh with clouds. I'm just simply saying to you these characteristics. Certainly, if it is not the Lord Jesus Christ himself, this mighty angel has many of the characteristics of him. He is bringing a message from heaven. And he's going to tell John here some wonderful things that he's going to write down. And of course, even the rainbow that we see around him, a rainbow upon his head. Of course, we're familiar with the fact the rainbow was around the throne there in Revelation, the 4th chapter. And so we see the characteristics there. I'm just simply saying there's some other things in this portion of Scripture that would lead me to believe maybe that it is not the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know it is a mighty, mighty angel. And I tell you, that is an interesting subject. Because in the Bible, there's many angels, mighty angels, powerful angels that God has, that God uses. In fact, over in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, if I think that's where it is, let me look real quickly. Yes, in the first verse, you'll notice he said in chapter 18, verse number 1, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We're not going to cover all those things there, but I'm quite sure, according to the Scriptures, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we are told that he was a mighty angel having great power. And also that his earth was lighted with his glory. We're talking about the glory of God that came with him. I'm simply just saying to you that these things are descriptive of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. But we do know there's called a mighty angel. He came down from heaven. Again, that's one of the reasons. Now, I'm really not real sure that this is Christ, because this is not him and his coming. We find this angel coming here down to earth from heaven. And he says he came down from heaven. He's clothed with these things. And then it says in verse number 2, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Now, no doubt we saw over in chapter 5, I believe it was, in chapter 5, we see him taking the book, but it is a little bit different descriptive of a book here. It's called the little book. And back then, it was the book with seven seals, and in fact, it was written within and without. It was a very large thing back there in chapter 5, and here we see a little book. What we're just simply saying to you is that there's marvelous things that's going to happen, and in fact, some things here in just a little while, we're going to see that God is even going to hide and not allow John to tell us about. He tells him to seal him up. and down here in the next few verses, some things that's going on in the tribulation period called the seven thunders that he's told him to not write about them, to seal them up. The tribulation period, we've already seen the seven seals. We're looking at the seven trumpets. We're to come to the seven vials, and there's seven personage as in the book of Revelation. We also know there's the seven thunders that we're not allowed to understand because John was not permitted to write them down. And of course, seven in the Bible speaks of completeness. You all know that. But this is a time of judgment, and God is judging. So what I want to do is take you over to the book of Daniel and show you a little bit of similarity here to something that happened in the book of Daniel, the second chapter. Now, notice here, he said in his hand, he had a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and on his foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice. And the Bible says the thunders uttered their voices. And we also see on down that he swore by him, in verse 6, that he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven. We see those things, and we see similar thing happening back in the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. And I want to read there just a few verses in chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, chapter 10, verse 1, the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till these whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th days of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of upaz. And he says this, his body was also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like as in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. You know, I was thinking when I read that, the great presence of God Almighty and His power is something that men in their normal state fear. We've seen this already in the book of Revelation, where men would run to the mountains and the dens and the rocks and ask and beg to be for them to fall upon him, so they'd be hid from the face of the Lamb of God. So it's not normal. And in fact, the effect of this here that has on Daniel is really quite startling, to be in God's presence and to be in the presence of his angels, and the great power that's there is amazing. So look what happens here to Daniel in verse number 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I restrained no strength. I mean, he lost all of his strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And then he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. I'm going to stop there for a moment. You see, this angel, this one that was speaking unto Daniel here, said, you know what? I was held back. The king of Persia came, and this is a spiritual battle, folks. This is not a battle of kings. This is a spiritual battle in the heavens that's going on. And he said he withstood me 20 days and held back Daniel's answer to prayer. And I wonder sometimes, you know, we talk about sometimes, you know, God takes so long sometimes. There may be some hindrances sometimes where old Satan is doing everything he can to battle the angels of God to come and present our answer in prayer. You see, I mean, that's possible because it happened here, is what I'm saying. We're thankful how God answers our prayer and all of those things. But I'm saying, I really want you to understand, there's a great battle going on. A spiritual battle that's going on that I think none of us can understand. I was telling Donna the other day, we were just talking about these things. I said, oh, it would scare us to death if that veil was lifted. I think it would literally scare us to death if we could see what was going on around us and the great spiritual battles that's going on around us. And then he says in verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter day, for yet the vision is for many days. And I'm not going to continue to read the rest of that, but I do want to go over to Daniel 12 for just a few verses in chapter 12, verse 4. And Daniel, again, is talking about this vision, this certain man that he saw. And he says, and thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, again, that's a verse of Scripture that maybe you've heard people preach on it. It's a verse of Scripture that absolutely is for our day. We are seeing people run to and fro, and I know it. I mean, I know it has much deeper meaning than all of that, but it also is saying that people are running to and fro everywhere. If they can get American Airlines to fly, they are. American Airlines right now is practically shut down, you know, and there are just people standing everywhere. But if you look at the general view of everything, people are on the go constantly, running to and fro, and look at what it says, and knowledge shall be increased. Never has there been a time when knowledge has been increased like it has today with the computers and all of these things. It's just amazing the amount of knowledge is out there. The internet is one of those things they tell me that has just amazing amount of information on the internet. Now, I know we got to be careful with that thing, and I know we got to stay away from all of the problems that it possesses, but there's so much information on the internet. Well, God says that knowledge will increase. And people will run to and fro. So that verse of Scripture is very important to us today. We're seeing that in our day. And he says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, and one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And he said, and one said to the man clothed in linen, that's the one who was clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand. You see, he's doing the same thing that the one over in the book of Revelation did. Now listen to what he says. He held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things be? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now I'm going to stop reading there, but you see, at that point, God said, told Daniel, he said, you close it up, you seal it up. It's sealed up until the time of the end. And he talked about there in verse number 7, he talked about it shall be for a time and times and a half. That's 3.5 years in the Scripture. Well, what we're going to find out over here in the book of Revelation, he's going to say, time's up. There's no longer to wait. There's no more delay. In just a few moments, we'll find that over here in chapter 10. But he is talking here about the fact that he's sealing up this book. He's sealing it up. He will not let us know until the end time. Now, my belief is that Daniel here, we're seeing this that he has in this little book, the prophecy of Daniel. We're seeing it going to be opened up to us. Opened up. John is going to eat of it. And to eat of it, we'll find in the Scriptures, if we have time, we may not have time, but you'll find in the Scriptures that God more than once throughout the Scriptures, in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, he done that, and he told the prophets to eat of the scroll of the Word of God. And that's what he was told to do here. He was told to eat of it. And by eating of it, he knew what it was. He was partaking of it. And of course, John then was declared then to go out and to take it and prophesy to many people. And so the rest of the book of Revelation here we see going to be open unto us. You see, and John is going to have the privilege of opening that up and giving unto us that which Daniel had sealed, or God had instructed Daniel to seal until the end days. So now we go back over into the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter. I just want to make a statement to you. You know, this earth and all of the heavens and everything belongs to God. Now, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He says the world and they that dwell therein. See, it all belongs to God. This is one thing that mankind has not got straight. They've got it all messed up. And folks, they can't get it straight. See, they think this belongs to them, but it don't. See, the United Nations thinks that they can do whatever they want and they can control the world. No, 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 it don't belong to them. If you have a piece of property, I have a piece of property, it isn't ours. Now come off of it, folks. It don't belong to us. It's His. The world is His and the fullness thereof. It belongs to God Almighty. If you've got a piece of property, you can call it yours if you want to, but I want to tell you who it really belongs to. It belongs to the Lord, and we ought to treat it as such. Everything we have belongs to Him. Everything we have belongs to God Almighty. It's His. Amen? And so we need to never, never forget that, because the Word of God wants us to be reminded that everything, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell upon the earth is His. You see, this world's trying to make it its own, but it isn't. It belongs to the Lord. And so in verse number 3, he says, he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I want to take time to go over to the book of Psalms, if you will, the 29th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'm going to reread that verse of Scripture that I just read to you. We get to Psalms 29. And he says in verse 3, I'm going to read again, and he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. I just wanted to take time out here to show you a little bit about the voice of the Lord and how powerful it is and how wonderful it is. And back in Psalm 29, he says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now listen, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Listen, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Amen. Said, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. I simply want to say to you that the voice of the Lord is here in the written word, the word of God. And his word is powerful. It'll do that which you and I cannot do. We cannot accomplish it. That's why when we carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not just carrying some weak little message. We are carrying the voice of the Lord, the Word of God, with us. And that can do things that you and I will never be able to do. We can't accomplish it, but God's Word can because of His power. Look at chapter 33, just for a few moments there, in chapter 33 of Psalms. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Listen, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And listen, I love this verse of Scripture. He says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I want to tell you what happened when God made the earth, when God made all the universe. He didn't go out and gather up a bunch of materials. He just spoke. And it came into existence. That's the power of the Word of God. And I say to you, we need to realize what power we have in our hands when we have before us the Bible, the Word of God. You see, you don't go in your own power. The Spirit of God is in us to take that Word and empower it into people's lives. Amen? And I know we say, boy, we can't get many people saved. I know all those things, but I want to tell you something, folks. Sometimes I wonder if we're not trying to do it on our power. You know, if we're doing it on our power, it won't work. We've just got to trust in the power of the Bible, the Word of God, and let God do His work. See, our position is, or our job is, just get it out. Amen. All we got to do is get it out. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God, you see. And it's powerful. If you'll go with me over to back to the book of Revelation, I want to show you in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1. Listen to what he says in verse number 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And he said, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. He says, and I turned to see the voice. He says, that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and a girdle about the paps with a golden girdle. And listen, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And listen, and his feet like unto fine brass, if it was burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Oh, I want to tell you, look in verse number 16, and he had his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. John, when he saw him, and the only way he could describe it was a sharp two-edged sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. Well, that sharp two-edged sword is the Word of God. It's the Word that cutteth asunder. You see, look over in Revelation the 9th, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We know who that is. And if you notice there again, it says that the sharp sword that he should smite the nations. I mean, all he has to do is speak. He doesn't need any nuclear bomb. Doesn't need any missiles. All he needs is the Word of God. And look at verse 21 of that chapter. He says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I simply want you to be reminded of the fact that the power that's in the Word of God. Oh, don't take light of that. Remember what power you have with you when you take God's Word and you give it to an individual. It will not come back void. God promised that. So it's a power there. And one of these days, He's already spoken. The worlds came into existence. One of these days, He's going to speak, and the people who have stood against Him is going to be destroyed. But just His mouth, just by His speaking, they're going to be destroyed. Amen? Now we find in verse number 3 again in chapter 10, and he says, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Here we find in the end of verse number 3 and also in verse number 4 that there were seven thunders that uttered their voices. Now, they was intelligent voices. The reason I know that, it was thunders, called thunders in the Bible, but they was intelligent voices because John was getting ready to pin down what they said. He was getting ready to pin down, and God said, no, John, don't you write what those thunders said. I have thought so much about that. There's no way in the world I can say, well, Brother Ross knows what those are. I have no idea what they are. John didn't know John knew, but John wasn't allowed to tell us. We don't know what those voices are. But I've thought so many times, if God revealed all these other things to us that are so horrible and terrible, can you imagine what these seven thunders are going to be?
that he's not allowing us to hear. And he told John to not pin them down, the seven thunders. I don't know what they are. I don't proclaim to. No one knows, because God would not let us know, would not let it be pinned down. So, but those seven thunders, folks, are seven more things that God is going to let happen during the tribulation period. I don't know what they are, but I want to tell you something. We've come a long way already in the tribulation period, and we haven't got, I think personally, I believe we're just near to the halfway of the tribulation period. I mean, I can't pinpoint it or exactly where it is, but I think that's probably where we're having, just through the first 3.5 years, getting ready to go into the last 3.5 years. And we're just getting ready to see in chapter 11, verse 15, which this here, I never mentioned that to start with, but this is some added information in between the two trumpets, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And we found that in the seals. There was something between the same thing, between the sixth and seventh seal. Now we find that here, chapter 10, up into verse number 15 in chapter 11. Then the trumpet is blown again. The seventh trumpet is blown again. And he wanted to tell us some things. And the things that we've just heard, he's telling us some special information about the tribulation period that he wanted us to know. And then in chapter 11, verse 15, again the seventh trumpet is blowing. And then, of course, it tells us about that seventh trumpet that at the end, when that's blowing, he said, we'll know the mysteries of God. The mystery of God will be finished. Oh, there's so many wonderful things that God has revealed for us, folks. And I do have to cut off tonight. We got business meeting tonight. But I've got to cut off tonight. But I want to tell you, it is just wonderful. This book is wonderful. And we need to understand we're there. We're just on the threshold. You understand what I'm saying? We're on the threshold. You've got to understand that. We got to get people saved. Hey, we just got to get people saved. Now we just got to do it. Got to get the gospel out. Do everything we can. Get folks saved. Get them ready for heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for your goodness and your kindness and your grace. And once again, thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. And ask you to help us, Lord, to do thy will and to understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.